Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. How good it is to enter the presence of our Lord on this day and offer him praise and thanksgiving, for our God indeed is a good God and greatly deserves our praise and thanksgiving. We welcome those here in the sanctuary this morning and those who are joining us online. It's always a pleasure to welcome you to worship at St. John's. On this frosty morning, driving down this morning, my car told me it was 21 degrees on the negative side of zero. I'm pleased to see you all here this morning because I know the temptation must have been great to go, the live stream, and I can stay in my house coat, but we are all here, and that is a good thing. Busy week here at St. John's this week with numerous meetings happening throughout the week, so please take a look at your bulletin. Just about everybody meets this week, so times are there. A reminder to folks that the annual meeting will be held on March the 1st following worship. We'll have a brief lunch downstairs and then we'll move into the meeting. And with those things being said, let us light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, that we who are his people seek to walk in his ways and follow his path. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. I invite you to stand as you come into the presence of our Lord this morning. The prophet asks, "Can justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a never-flowing stream?"
We come seeking a faith that does not grow weary.
From prison cells and pulpits, from marches and prayer circles, God has called ordinary people into extraordinary faith. Though they were few in number, they were great in courage. Though they were small in power, they were mighty in commitment. We worship the God who calls us to justice, love, and faithful witness. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of justice, to generation after generation, you have revealed yourself as the source of justice. And in love, you have sought to reconcile this world to your plan of creation. As we come this day, may the echoes of your great story reverberate in our hearts and lives, that we might commit ourselves to tearing down systems of injustice and restoring your reign of peace. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as we come this morning, we come in praise. You will remember a couple of weeks ago, we sang the hymn, Marching to Zion. It worked for, I think we sang it for Psalm 2. It worked for Psalm 2. It works even better this morning as we celebrate Black History Month, as it is one of the civil rights hymns. So let us sing, We Are Marching to Zion.
Thank you.
Friends, in spite of God's love for us and gift of love to us, we often act in destructive and hateful ways. We close our hearts to God and disobey God's laws. Together, let us come confessing our sin as we say together the prayer as it is printed before you on the screens. God of justice and mercy, we confess that too often we prefer peace without justice, order without righteousness, comfort without courage. We have been silent when you should speak. We have been cautious when we should have been faithful. We have feared losing approval more than losing integrity. Forgive us, O Lord. Free us from our apathy. Renew us in love and commitment, that we might be counted among those who do what is right, even when it is costly. Amen. Friends, Christ is our peace and has torn down every barrier between us and heaven, between us and all humanity. Through the gift of Jesus Christ, his Son, whoever repents and believes, he has promised reconciliation and peace. Let us live as people reconciled and give thanks to God always. Amen. And since we have been reconciled, let us share the peace that is given that has been given to us in grace. May the peace of God be with you all. Our hymn will appear on the screens, This Little Light of Mine. Coming along, Kian. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody this morning? Now, am I in the camera? Okay, good. Y'all know that that's the big problem at this time of the morning, because I have a tendency to wander off the screen and which is fine for you all here, but for those people on the cameras. I brought something for you this morning. I had to go raiding my cupboard. Because you see, one right foot. I don't know how that happened. What do we have? Shoes. Footwear, right? We have a dress shoe, like maybe I would wear on a Sunday morning. We have a more casual boot that maybe I might wear to the office on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Got a sneaker that I shouldn't say I probably don't wear to the church, because I do wear sneakers around from time to time. But probably more when I'm at home, maybe when I'm doing something athletic, right? And of course, I have the shoe that I wore to church this morning. No. This one's going back in the closet for a few more weeks, isn't it? A sandal. This one, maybe I wear this morning or later this afternoon. I certainly wore it yesterday morning as I was getting rid of all of that snow that was in my driveway. Right? All these different types of footwear that we wear, all of them are different though, right? Like we said, this is a dress shoe, so it's something that you would wear when you're in your very best clothes. This is something a little bit more casual. This is something that we would wear playing pickleball this afternoon or running in a race, things like that. This is just a nice beach shoe, right? Nice beach sandal and then my very warmest boot. All of them are the same, right? They're all things I wear on my feet. And yet all of them are really different. And each of them has its own purpose. Each of them looks different. Some of them are newer. This one, I don't want to tell you how old this is. It's older than you all, for sure. It's older than all of my children. There are pictures of me wearing these in the 1970s. So, they've been with me a very long time. But this morning we celebrate Black History Month. And it's our time to celebrate our brothers and sisters in faith who sometimes look different from us, but who are part of our congregations and who help us to share and celebrate the love of God. They've taught us things that we need to know, and they are part of our communities of faith. It's often sometimes really easy to look at someone who is different from us and to recognize the differences. But here in church, we're called to be children of God. And when we come as children of God, we don't notice the things that are different. We celebrate the things that make us one. The love that God has for us and that we have been created in the image of God. And therefore, we love each other. All part of our celebration today as we come for Black History Month. And all of my shoes. So thank you for coming up this morning. It's been great to see you. Trish is going to take you off to the lesson for the morning, and I'm going to move my shoes out of the way. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God. For the testimonies of the prophets, we bless you. For the statutes of the law, we bless you. For the gospel of Jesus Christ and the witness of the apostles, we bless you, most glorious God. Grant to us the spirit of your glory and the brightness of your presence, that we might read your word with understanding this day. We pray all of these things through Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Amos, chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like water, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Second reading is a responsive reading from Psalm 124. It's on page 583 of your pew Bible or on the screens. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say,
if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us,
then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us.
Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us.
Then over us would have gone the raging waters.
Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped.
Our enemy helped in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
And the gospel reading, Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Our hymn is number 741, Like a Mighty River Flowing, hymn 741 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screens.
Thank you.
And finally, this morning we read from the epistle lesson for today, taken from Hebrews chapter 11, reading verses 1 to 3 and 8 to 16. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received their approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised as in a foreign land, living in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. All these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On April 16th, 1963, in the early days of the civil rights movement, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. penned a letter from a Birmingham jail. That's how it's known. The letter from the Birmingham jail, where he had been jailed after being arrested in a march on April the 12th, which was Good Friday. Birmingham, Alabama, at the time was a hotbed of racial segregation, and King had been invited to join that march in Birmingham on that Good Friday in his role as the president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. In those early days of the civil rights movement, King's participation in these marches was not universally accepted. And in his letter from the Birmingham jail, King calls out other Christian leaders to shake off the cloak of complacency and join him in his work to stand for equal rights for all. If you are not familiar with the letter, it's probably like one of Paul's longer letters. It's not short, but it is readily available these days on the internet, as most things are. And so I would encourage you today to maybe to take a few moments this afternoon to read it or to listen to it, because if you are an auditory learner, it is available as video of various types, recordings of the letter, both in the voice of Dr. King and of others reading his words on his behalf. At one level, this letter that was written before I was even born, seems to be far away. And we might like to think that it no longer speaks to our circumstances. But if you pay attention, if you watch the news and listen to the political discourse even today, both in our country and in many places in the world, it is undeniable that our human tendency to other people who are different from us still thrives in many corners of the world. There are many notable passages in this letter from a Birmingham jail. But what stood out to me as I was reading the letter this time and thinking about something to say this morning was really perhaps one of his more simple phrases contained in this work. Reflecting on the work of some of the early civil rights proponents, King wrote these words: "Though small in number, they were big in commitment." Our text this morning, drawn from Hebrews chapter 11, takes us through the development of our faith. Paul begins with those words, probably engraved in all of our memories. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And then the author of this letter walks us through the generations of the faithful. We have read but a few of those generations this morning. And we are reminded that those people who began the faith that in whose shadow we stand this morning were also a small number, and yet they remained committed to the purposes of God, each generation picking up where the last had left off. And we are reminded of the precariousness of that faith in the promise of God. At any point in this long chain of faithfulness, a link could have been broken. And in that moment, the faith lost. The author of the letter writes, "All these," referring to the generations who had gone before that point where we picked up in verse 13 this morning, "all of these died in faith without having received the promise, but from a distance they saw them and they greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland." All of them have died in the faith without having received the promise. And yet God has sustained his people in every age. And we stand in that heritage. We are one more link in that chain. And it is to us to add to that same cord of faithfulness, to braid in our own strand, strengthening that witness begun long ago, acknowledging that something new awaits for us, just as it did for all of our ancestors in the faith who have in their day sought to serve the Lord. Our home is not some country here on earth where many are dominated for the benefit of the few or where might is exercised over the weak, but God's home of justice and peace, where all are welcome and all are honored, for each and every one of us is a child of God, created, like all of the created order in rich diversity, that the fullness of God might be manifested in our very being. The color of our skin, the cacophony of our many different languages, all suddenly tuned into a harmonious hymn of praise to the God who creates. The fact that God's kingdom of justice has not yet been fully realized is painfully all around us. All we have to do is turn on that nightly news, and we are confronted by acts of institutional injustice and violence in the U.S. and in other places. And yet, if you are like me, you are also inspired by the massive protests that have filled the streets of Minneapolis. Not great people, not powerful people, but people like you and me. Students and school teachers. Clergy and office workers, mothers pushing strollers, and grannies pushing walkers. They are all there in the pictures if you look close enough. Taking to the streets to declare that the violence of the kingdoms of this world will not stand in the face of the kingdom of God. And they are being organized and supported by the churches of Minneapolis. I've been watching with particular interest because you may remember that a couple of years ago I attended a study leave in Minneapolis, and one of the churches where we gathered each day, Westminster Presbyterian Church, has become the epicenter of these gatherings of people before they go out into the streets. Before they go out, they gather together to sing. And if you've seen some of the reels that have been out there, then you will be familiar with those gatherings in Westminster and in other of the downtown churches throughout Minneapolis, of people gathered and singing. And we are reminded of the importance of music to reshape the world. I couldn't find the music. So I was going to sing Keep Your Hand on the Plow, which is an old Negro spiritual, a spiritual from back in the days of slavery and abolition. In that time when people were trying to find a new place and a new home, the original African-American spirituals are spirituals that were written, amongst other things, to guide people along their journey of the Northern Railway, their way to escape to freedom. And so there are many references to the North Star in those hymns. We sang this morning the hymn, "We Are Marching to Zion," and "This Little Light of Mine," both of which were hymns that were sung by the Freedom Riders as they moved through the Southern United States, standing up against the systematic oppression that was part of the history of that place at that time. Words of faith and music that inspired us to look beyond the present to see the future that lies out there for us if we will only place our trust in it. And today, in churches and in the streets of Minneapolis, new hymns are being written. New realities are being envisioned, and new hope is being proclaimed. Because we cannot allow the injustice of this world to survive. One of the other great quotes that's hidden in King's letter from a Birmingham jail is that, under that sentence, if injustice exists anywhere, then justice can exist nowhere. We who are people of faith stand in that long tradition of people who have spoken truth to power, who have declared the good news that is made known to us in Jesus Christ, that our God is a God of love, and that God will not abandon or forsake any one of us. And that includes even the ones that we want to think are the most unlike us, the most undeserving in our eyes, are the ones of greatest love and affection in the heart of God. What we learn today in our reading from the book of Hebrews, what we learn as we watch once more history replaying itself in new ways, is simply this: that there is no looking back, that God always prods us to move forward, to proclaim his promise, and to look for the good news where it may be found. Thanks be to God. Amen. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses to help? Dear children, let us love, not in word or in speech, but in truth and action, as we present now our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Set aside anxiety.
Let us pray. We are not our own, O God. We belong to you. You have created us and given us life anew. Great God, our Creator, Sustainer, and Savior. We extend our arms and open our hands to present our offerings to you today. We make these gestures to display outwardly our heart's overflowing gratitude for all your gifts. Receive these gifts from us, O Triune God, and through them bring life and hope to many. In the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray these things. Amen. Let us continue now in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Lord of the nations, we praise you, for you have created the universe in all its diversity. We give you thanks for nations and lands and peoples, each in their own way reflecting the wonder of your creation. Lord God, we give you thanks for those who championed the cause of civil rights in the past, and for those who continue to work for the building of nations that are more welcoming and inclusive societies. As we celebrate the progress made, dear Lord, we are aware that there is still a long way to go, that in far too many places, women and men are still limited by their country of birth or the color of their skin. Be with those who still feel weighed down by the burdens of old discriminations and practices, until they receive the recognition as daughters and sons of the Most High God. Move in us, O God, that we may be agents of change, in ways both large and small, laying stepping stones to the path of equality until it becomes knit together into the highway of our Lord. Be with all those who suffer this day, whether it be from persecution or from illnesses of the body. Comfort those who mourn and walk with those who are alone. Especially today, we remember our sisters and brothers in Minneapolis and in other places as they continue to struggle for equality and justice, for all those who look different in their society. Preserve them and keep them safe in the midst of dangerous times. For we know that you continue to work out your plan for a just world, and that you, O God, are faithful, and it will be so. Until that day, grant us perseverance and grace to make changes where we can. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught those who would follow him to be steadfast in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's closing praise is hymn 490 in the Book of Praise, God of Grace and God of Glory, hymn 490, or as the words appear before you on the screen. Now, as we go from this place, let us lead a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And may the God who strengthened the prophets, sustained prisoners, and raised Christ from the grave give you courage to live for justice, compassion to love your neighbor, and faith to keep going this day and forevermore. Amen.